Hello, and thank you for downloading the 9 Years podcast. Now, before we get on with this week's show, you may have wondered about those brand new, stylish-looking blocks of apartments that surround our new stadium at Plough Lane. Well, 181 of those apartments are brought to you by Catalyst New Homes in a development known as The Switch. Homes at The Switch are available through shared ownership, a part-buy, part-rent government-backed scheme, making the switch to home ownership surprisingly more affordable, with one-bedroom apartments starting from £98,750 for a 25% share. Take watching at home to a new level. With pitch views available, as well as high specifications and excellent transport links, don't you think it's time you made the switch? Visit the switch, sw17.co.uk, for more information about buying a home with Catalyst New Homes.
Hello and welcome to the 9 Years podcast. My name is Stuart Deakins, and today we are bringing you a special edition of our podcast relating to mental health and its relationship with football. One in four people will suffer from mental health each year. This year, being a pandemic, obviously from the start of 2020, that is likely to be more. In terms of football, no crowds all season and behind closed doors. So we wanted to discuss the mental health challenges we're all having, and especially from a football angle. We are joined by Jane Lonsdale, who's a Don's Trust Board co-chair, Hannah Kitcher, who's also on a Don's Trust Board, Matt Haylock, who's the retail manager for AFC Wimbledon, Mikey T, famous for Radio WDON, amongst other things, and finally, the chief executive officer at AFC Wimbledon, Mr. Joe Palmer, who kindly has joined us today. Before we start our roundtable discussion with our guests, we also have another Don's Trust board member, Graham Stacey, who is running the Brighton Marathon. Graham is raising money on behalf of Mind Charity, which is a great charity I've also had many dealings with in terms of my work life, who do some great support and do some really good discussions, etc., presentations to discuss mental health, which, like I say, is affecting one in four people every year. So Graham is running the Brighton Marathon. He is aiming to raise £500. He's already smashed that. He's already at £590, and he would like to get more, of course. So Graham is, well, he's an athlete. He would say 20k he's run at the moment, but he's doing a lot of training to do the Brighton Marathon. So it's a great cause, and Graham would just like, he said he can't guarantee that he will run the whole thing, but he can guarantee every penny will make a difference for a great cause. So we will post the link within the description of this podcast. But if you would like to, any money will be great for him. And we look forward to seeing the pain and the agony and the ecstasy of when he completes the Brighton Marathon. The reason I wanted to do this podcast was because I've had challenges with mental health over probably the last couple of years. I suffered alone in silence for probably a good year before I finally asked for help. That's not easy for anyone to ask anybody for help, especially not in myself. For those of you who know me, you know, I'm 6 foot plus. I'm not easy to hide from anybody. I felt it was a weakness to come out and say that I suffered from a mental health. I had depression, anxiety. However, once I did speak to people, I realised how much support I had from my friends, my family, and of course my Wimbledon family. That really helped. So if I can help anybody by discussing the podcast and discussing my mental health, if I can help one person, that's my job done. So I had depression and anxiety for about 15 months. I still do now, obviously with a pandemic. And I've got loads of little things that I do to help. This is therapeutic for me to discuss this. And I'm just so pleased that I've been joined by my friends that I've got within the club. So with further ado, I'm going to ask every one of our guests today just to highlight why they wanted to be part of this mental health special podcast.
Evening, everybody. I really wanted to get involved with this because we did something earlier on in the month around Terrace Talk, and the Football Supporters Association are running a campaign at the moment, which is hashtag Terrace Talk, if you look on Twitter and things like that. And the impact that COVID has had on people, individuals, has been massive. And for football fans, you know, we're not going to games. We're not seeing all our friends and families at games. It's a really weird time. But also from a personal level, I've suffered mental health issues in the past, and my family, close family, have suffered as well. And I think it's a really important thing to talk about.
Superb. Hannah?
I just saw this on, you advertised this on Twitter, and I thought that, like, it's so great that you're talking about this. And actually, the most conversations that I have about mental health are through the football club, which I find remarkable, really. And I mean, I have had mental health issues in the past and kind of got involved with Wimbledon when I was at quite a low. And Wimbledon and the community around it has really just helped me on my recovery. And so I feel like I owe a lot of my kind of where I am today to the club and to the people that I've met at the club. And so I'm just really grateful to be here and talking about it and just to be involved in the club at all. That's, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Matt?
I have had recurrent problems since my late teens. So, and one of the things, exactly like you, I like talking about it. It makes me feel better. But, and especially when I see other people that I see all the time, and if it gets to the point where they're talking about it and I'm like, bloody hell, they're thinking that too. I thought that was just me. And it makes me feel a little bit less crazy, I guess.
Superb. Mikey T.
Yeah, I wanted to help out, Stu. Obviously, you asked me to sort of join. And I think it's just around the fact that I think everybody, you know, whatever walk of life, whether they're a football fan or not, whatever people's life circumstances are, I don't think there's anyone who won't have been affected in some way, particularly in the last year or so since lockdown. Obviously, the dreadful circumstances and, you know, people are losing their loved ones and the uncertainty about maybe how the whole thing was going to play out. Maybe things are a little bit more optimistic these days. I mean, obviously we had the roadmap laid out of how things supposedly are eventually going to sort of, resolve itself and all be sort of dancing around on Friday the 25th of June, apparently, if we're all to be, if everyone's to be believed. But of course, we'll have to wait and see. But just to kind of contribute and just, you know, just by talking about things, there might be something that someone might kind of latch onto and sort of, they might sort of find they've identified with something that they potentially might be kind of going through, and if that's any help in some way, and maybe to help sort of maybe resolve my own issues while I find myself going on eBay buying a Cole Eber player's worn shirt, you know. So if anything can sort of help anybody, and again, just by talking about it, just really reinforcing the message that no one is alone and everybody is around you. There are people there you can speak to, and if it's, you know, if your family or people who are around you within the whole Wimbledon circle, then that's got to be a good thing. And just helping each other through this is the main kind of message, I think.
Brilliant. And finally, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I think we all need to do a lot more. We all need to talk about it a lot more. I think that's one of the key things that I've learned from mental health is that talking about it is a good thing, and it does help. And you know, I've had a lot of close family members, friends, colleagues, who have been affected by mental health, and I've seen what it can do, but I've also seen what being open and talking about this sort of thing can, you know, how that can help the situation. And I think, you know, as a key sort of community vehicle, you know, as a football club, I think we have a duty to talk more about it. We can't hide, you know, behind my mental health anymore, and it does affect a lot of people a lot more than you know. And obviously affects players, affects staff, affects fans. You know, it's something that affects everyone. And I think, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. And, I want to be part of that conversation, because I think it's really important for us all to talk about it and to help the people around us.
Superb. And yeah, it's been interesting, actually, as you've gone, as gone around, it's in terms of talking about it. I know, Matt, you were sort of saying, you know, is someone else feeling that way on that sort of side? Because sometimes your own thoughts are your worst thoughts on that scale. And especially if you think about in a football environment, in terms of it's not always easy to be that one opening up. And yeah, you know, we've had players come out and say that, because it's the old school sort of side was not to discuss that. But actually, that barrier seems to be sort of breaking down a little bit now, which is really, really good. So yeah, just to really start us off, a very general sort of thing, how 12 months of lockdown, can't believe it's been that long. How have we all found lockdown in terms of just general general thoughts? How has the lockdown been for you all?
I'll go first then. when lockdown was first announced, it was a strange feeling, and it was, I don't want people to think I'm weird, but it was kind of exciting because it was different. It was something new and it was different. It was like, oh, look, it was a massive break from the norm. And then it got boring very, very quickly. I was in a fortunate position where I was still going in to do the mail order. So I was going in on my own. So I was still able to get out of the house. But I think for the first 5 or 6 days, I stayed home, and it was horrendous. And I don't know how people I say I'm lucky I get to go in, because I have to keep the mail order going and things like that. And we're moving into the shop. But it's been hard, but I think it's been a lot harder for other people who have been stuck at home, because at least I've been able to get out of the house.
So I was just going to say, I've been in a really odd position, because I've been busier than I've ever been. I work for the Treasury, and I think my last day in the office was the 23rd of March last year. We were then all, sent home, work from home. It was very, very new. I work flexibly anyway, so I was used to working from home, but it was a massive culture change for lots and lots of people. But we have just been, work has been incredibly busy, introducing furlough scheme. Who knew what furlough was 12 months ago, right? And a whole load of different schemes. I also found myself getting quite jealous of people that were on furlough. Lots of my friends were suddenly on furlough, and they were all putting pictures up on social media of what they'd done around their houses. And I was getting really quite, I didn't think I recognised it to start with, but then I was like, hang on a minute, well, they're all getting this time off. And I'm like literally working every hour God sends, which was a little bit weird. It's just been really weird. And I've massively missed going to football. Football is a real stress relief for me. I can sit at the back of the stand and shout, and I know I'm not supposed to, Joe, so sorry. But I, sit at the back of the stand and shout at the referee and shout, at the team and support the team very vocally. And it's kind of a massive stress release, and I can't do that. It's a bit odd going out in the garden shouting random things.
I'm sure your neighbours are used to it. On that side of it. Do you know what? It's really interesting actually saying that, because Matt, I was in a really weird position, because I was signed off work. I was signed off from January, and I went through a period where I didn't want to see anybody, and I remember going to football, and you're laugh at this. When I was very self-conscious, and one of my I had depression, and I didn't really want to face anybody, because for me my general demeanor is happy, laughing, and it's very easy to see if I'm not happy. So I actually try to go to games and hide from people. This will make you chuckle. Now, I'm not the easiest person to hide in a crowd, even at King's Meadow. And then when I was ready to go out, we went into lockdown. So I went from a case of not wanting to see people to wanting to see people. Furlough, I didn't ever feel jealous of people with furlough. Although, who knew what furlough was going to be back then? I think one of the biggest challenges I had was, I've always been a person of work hard, play hard. So I'll work as many hours as people want in the week. But I love to go football because I can shout and I can just let off that steam, Jane. And I've been near you and I know exactly what. Yes, it's good. No, it's really good to shout. It's a stress reliever, isn't it, on that sort of side of it. And for 90 minutes, you can shout and you can do everything you want to do. And then after that, I'm done and I'm worn out and I'm back to that week. So I think I found the difficulty from work to social, there wasn't that separation anymore, and it felt work, more work. So yeah, that I had a challenge on that side of it.
Yeah, I agree that my work life has been work and more work. And I think I was actually talking to my dad about it just now. And there's not a, like, you go into the office and then on a Tuesday, whatever, you leave the office to go to a game or what, and there's this distinction, or, you know, you've got a theatre tickets or whatever, and you've got something in the evening to do, and so do your colleagues. Now nobody has anything else to do but work, so the expectation has, like, everybody is just doing more and more and more. And our organisation went under at the beginning of lockdown, and then got a new job and have been there since about June. But have basically been in the situation where I've never worked for that organization in a physical office and not properly had that time to get to know my colleagues on a kind of a more, you know, those incidental conversations where you're just like making a cup of tea or whatever and having a chat about people's personal lives. And I feel like I don't really know my colleagues on that level that much. And I'm finding, like, communicating through, you know, the likes of Teams where you're communicating much more in kind of text or via, you know, video calls is so exhausting. And so, like, it's really tough, especially when you don't really know the people that you're talking to properly on a personal level. I think if it was with people that I'd been working with for years, it would be maybe different. So I found that kind of quite challenging, I suppose. And it's at now, but now I'm getting into a position where I've worked like this for so long that I'm getting quite anxious about going back into the office and being around new people. Not for the, like, COVID anxiety, but just, like, you know, it's all gotten kind of, you get routined, right?
The Don's Trust support Terrace Talk. Terrace Talk is about helping fans, and James Lonsdale was recently involved with Terrace Talk and discussed this on the Don's Trust website. Don't suffer alone, please don't. We're discussing this today, but if you need any help whatsoever, mental health covers many, many different areas. Mind are a great charity that can help. The EFL are running a joint Have Your Mates Back campaign, where you can ask friends if they're okay, but ask them again. Are you okay? Sometimes you'll get a different answer on the second one. We have to look out all for each other during this pandemic and further forward on this. So a couple of numbers you can have is Age UK, and they're on 0800 678 1602, open between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. Alcoholics Anonymous. You can go to their website, or 0800 9177 650. Calm Zone, again their website, or call them on 0800 585858. Childline, or call 0800 1111. You've also got Mental Health First Aid of England, Mental Health First Aid of Wales, Mental Health Matters, the National Domestic Abuse Helpline. Call them if you need to on 0808 2000 247. The National Gambling Helpline, go to their website or call 0808 8020 133. And finally, Samaritans on 116 123, and call anytime for free. And finally, if you need any medical advice, call NHS on 111. Please don't suffer in silence.
So in terms of football, what was our match routines like pre-COVID, if we can remember back that far?
We used to kind of, we would go to football as a family, right? So my dad goes, my husband goes, the children go, so we go as a family, so it's a bit of a family event as well. And we'd get to the ground about, I don't know, 11, half 11, something like that. We'd go to Fat Boys for lunch. I'd then usually find myself either in the Don's Trust kiosk or stood outside the back bar. Thinking of Kings Meadow, stood outside the back bar. That's where people knew that I would be, so they could come and have a chat if they wanted to about trust stuff or just, you know, general chat. I'd then end up generally finding myself doing something. You know, Jane, can you go and sort this out? Or, you know, some campaign we were doing or whatever. would go into the ground probably about 10 minutes, 15 minutes before kickoff. You know, watch the game. Man of the match in the bar after the game. I mean, it filled the whole day. I'm not quite sure when football restarts and we can go back. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to carve that time out to do those things, you know, because I'm literally doing something, you know, generally working or whatever. But literally, they're all moaning at me. The family's all moaning at me because we use my laptop to watch iFollow, and we have to go in the lounge and there's four of us sat. Very odd experience. Two of us on one sofa, two on the others. We've got an extension cable, two screens. It's the most ridiculous setup. And, you know, I'm on the laptop and they go, "Mom, we need the laptop to watch the game." And I also just, you know, just going back to the last question about work, I'm not quite sure where I'm going to find the time to travel into work from. Because that's an hour door to door, right? But I start work at 7 a.m. I used to get the 6:12 train. We've now got a dog that I walk. So I don't quite know where I'm going to get the travelling time to go back to work. I'm sure I will, but, you know.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Everyone's work routine has changed massively. And the reason I said about what's a routine of pre-COVID, because I'm struggling to remember what my actual routine was. And actually, where would that be when I go back, you know, to Plough Lane, to a different venue? In terms of working, yeah, I'm sure most of us here travel to work, I'm assuming, a majority of us here. That would be an interesting, because I'm quite used now to getting up, watching a bit of Good Morning Britain, watching the news, current affairs. It's not as fun now. Piers has decided to leave, do you know what I mean? I just like people, upset people. I find it quite interesting. But my routine is so much different now in terms of that. I do struggle to find breakfast sometimes, though, because you have to manage yourself very much, don't you, in that side. And one of the things I found very difficult working from home was not having anyone to chat to. So I like to chat. I work hard, but I like to chat. You know, I like to talk to people. So I started listening to LBC. I listened to James O'Brien at 10 o'clock and I got literally, my diary was on who was on at a certain time because that was my office gossip. And I'd end up talking to people on my iPad and talking to them saying they were wrong, just to have some sort of dialogue with anybody. Who's been working from home during this?
I got a bit lucky, actually, Stu. Well, if lucky is the right word, because I've been working from home since June 2017. So I ended up with a kind of a close on 3-year head start, if you like, and really got accustomed to it, you know, going for a commute of, you know, an hour and a half down to, you know, 10 seconds, basically. So I suppose that's been a kind of an advantage, and sometimes that hasn't been something you have had to kind of acclimatise to quickly. But I think, I mean, Jane sums it up quite well. I mean, it's a case, you know, I mean, everyone had their own sort of, for example, the home matches at King's Meadow. Again, I had a sort of a fairly flexible routine. Might pop into Fat Boy. Sometimes I'd just go straight into the ground, fish out all the you know, the broadcasting and the PA sort of equipment and just get it all set up, make sure it was all done in time. And then again, just getting, you know, select the tunes as you're going along, do the bits and pieces and then pack up and kind of go home. But I think the problem that the many people will have, not just a case of remembering their routine, but of course when we're eventually allowed back into football, we're suddenly going to somewhere totally different to where we were going before. As you say, we didn't get a chance to sort of say goodbye to King's Meadow. So everyone's going back to football, but not going back to their old routine at the old ground. They're having to find their feet immediately at the new stadium and try and really establish their routines at the new venue, if you like, or just find their feet, or however long it's going to take them. So it's going to be like, you know, we've been time warped, if you like, from one scenario, one location to another. And that's that will be interesting to see how people sort of adapt to that. Obviously, they'll be very happy that we're back in, you know, Plough Lane after so many years and after all the travails and all the real rigmarole that we've been through, the authorities, the directors, shall we say, we've had to battle at times to really get that sort of, you know, steer to go back home. I think my hope for everybody is that it's going to be a joyous time where we go into this wonderful new ground that we've got awash with the yellow and blue. And I hope that goes some way towards maybe you know, softening the blow, if you like, or at least easing the feeling of perhaps a bit of disorientation, maybe to a certain extent when everyone gets back. And again, that's something I'm massively looking forward to, just having the ground sort of full again, and referees having their parentage questioned, and match day incidents discussed, and why has the scoreboard gone off, and all that sort of stuff.
I hope that doesn't happen quite so much.
No, I was touching with there, Joe, when I said that. Don't worry, it won't happen.
No, well, I mean, it's a good point though, you know, and like I said, I probably not fully appreciated that too much in terms of, you know, what it will be like. I mean, I think it's going to be a wonderful present for everybody, you know, when this COVID has finally gone, and actually one of the first things will be coming back into the stadium. And one of the things that I've certainly learned is how important that is for people, is that, you know, when we've had various visitors and people that have come to the ground for a meeting, they've had to come in, just the look on their face, you know, is just unbelievable. You can see it, you know, and indeed, Jane, you know, I've seen people crying, you know, and it is, I just can't wait for that moment. I think everybody is going to be so filled with emotion when they can get back in here and see it and feel it. And I think it will be great for the soul, for everybody's soul. It's something that everybody's needed over this time. And it's obviously been, for me, it's been weird because, yeah, I've been, you know, obviously working, I've been flat out, and that sort of kept my mind occupied in a way. But actually, it's been a strange one because I've actually really still enjoyed it, because I've actually had the opportunity to be at home a little bit more. I've spent the last 10 years not at home. You know, I've had four and a half years in another country, and then another 2 years in another city. And actually, it was nice to spend time with my family again after such a long period of time. And, you know, I actually really enjoyed it when the first lockdown happened, and the weather was nice, and walking the dog and with the family. And it was actually, mentally, it was a really good experience for me. I feel very lucky, you know, that was good. Yeah, and I'm at that place where I'm a little bit tired of it now, and I wish it would just do one, as we all do. But I could see how, you know, for some people right now, this part, you know, must be really, really difficult and really painful. And I just hope that those dates that are being given by the government and sort of giving people hope that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, I just really hope that they do happen, and that we're able to get this season, next season, started, you know, with, in the way it should be. I just think it's really important for people's emotions and people's mental health, you know, that they, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel does happen. I certainly looking forward to it. I think everyone else will be.
Yeah, Plough Lane's been interesting. I think I'm right in saying that the majority of us have been to Plough Lane. Obviously, Jay, I'm not going to ask yourself. I know you have been on that side of it. Plough Lane was very difficult for me. I was fortunate enough, when I was fortunate enough to go to QPR for some games, and then obviously go to Plough Lane, I found it really difficult. I actually found it really impacting my mental health. And the reason for it is QPR used to be my second ground. So my best mate's a QPR fan. And we used to go Wimbledon home games and then QPR home games. So Loftus Road for me is a second home. And I found it very difficult when I went into Loftus Road when no one was there, because Loftus Road is probably the best atmosphere in terms of when that place is full. It's an amazing atmosphere. And it suddenly made me, when I first went, it suddenly made me realise how much I'm missing football. I think I was kidding myself before then, but I missed everything. And then going to Plough Lane, again, I struggled because I was sort of this lovely stadium, like we've been waiting for 30 years to come back to Plough Lane. And I felt really lonely in that place, which seems really weird, but I actually didn't enjoy it because I can watch football anytime I want to. But I started daydreaming and looking at where we might be sitting and where my mates were sitting. I actually missed Crawley's first goal against us in the FA Cup because I was daydreaming looking at where the away fans would be compared to the home fans in the corner. And I had to rely on George to tell me what happened because we were on the back to Plough Lane side of it. I hadn't seen it at all. And I found myself really daydreaming about Plough Lane, and I actually found it very difficult on that side. And I was, in my opinion, was I can't wait until I can go there and share it with everybody. So it sort of become, Plough Lane sort of become a thing that seemed jinxed, if we think about it, you know, in terms of Boris Johnson called it back in. It felt like this place is jinxed, but what an amazing stadium. But it was bittersweet for me. Anyone else have a sort of, how did Plough Lane impact people?
I went to that game as well, Stu. That was the one game I've been to. And I've got to say, midway through the second half, I was just like, God, if it, no one's missing anything, not being able to go to games at the moment, it is sterile. But like, obviously, you've been saying, it is an amazing piece of work, that stadium. It's one of the nicest places I've ever worked. People are going to absolutely love it. And when that place is rocking, that place is going to be rocking as well. I think it's going to be a massive boost for everyone when we manage to get back in there. And just, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to remember what it was like sat in a crowd with all the noise. I can't hardly get my head around what it was like. So it's going to be bizarre, but it's going to be a brilliant kind of bizarre.
I agree. How are people, in terms of football, I'm with you, Matt. I started probably about 2 or 3 months ago watching YouTube and watching old highlights of Wimbledon because I just got fed up of watching football on TV and fake noise, as it called it. And I spent about 3 hours watching just celebrations. And I actually was watching celebrations more than the goals. Because I agree with you. It's a really weird thing. It's a bonding thing, isn't it? On that side. And, you know, I love my football, but actually I call it my Wimbledon family. I missed them massively. Even the ones that took the mickey out of me whenever I saw them. I actually missed that side of it on there. So how have people found the football side of watching games? So I follow that sort of side. Is anyone watching, not watching it on iFollow? Has anyone found it difficult to watch football at this point?
Well, I've kind of got into a bit of a routine of zooming in with a group of people to watch the game together and basically have kind of a chat around the game, which is helpful because, you know, like, I mean, my partner's a QPR fan, so come 3 o'clock, he's in one room, I'm in the other room. And actually, when we lived in a smaller flat in Wimbledon and QPR lost, oh my God, being in the same house, like the same tiny place as him was terrible. That was really like accentuated the agony of lockdown. So that's nice to be able to kind of be reminded of the people that you like see at a match day. And then after that, we'll zoom into another group who have a kind of post-match chat. And so I get to see a few people on a Saturday, which are actually really nice.
So Jane, you were saying about, and I remember we were chatting about laptop and everyone around laptop. How has that been? Because, you know, I know obviously your family and all very, you know, support, very opinionated and very like, how is that?
It's just the weirdest thing. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? We've literally got 2 sofas, one on a wall and one by the window. 2 of us on this sofa, 2 of us on that sofa, a little table in the middle, laptop on one and a screen on the other. We've tried to get it to project onto the TV, can't get that to work. We've bought cables, we've tried, what do you call it? I don't know. Anyway, it won't work. So we're literally sat on 2 sofas. And it is just the most bizarre experience. We're sitting watching a little screen. It's just... It's just not football, right? And it's just I just miss seeing all my friends and just that somebody just mentioned about the crowd cheering when you watch footage. So I hadn't realised, but I think I'm doing that a bit as well. I hadn't realised I was doing it until you said it. But there's quite a lot of, you know, like rules, reels of, you know, best goals and all of that kind of thing. And, you know, bless him, Johnny Main put up a post on Facebook yesterday or the day before. It was his goal at Hampton and Richmond, where the crowd went mental behind that goal and the fence broke and about 20 people fell over the fence, where they took out their 2 players on the wing. And, you know, you all remember the goal, right? And I watched it back about 5 times because I was watching the crowd behind going, and part of me was going, do you know, I'm not quite sure how I would feel about being that close to people. Because you know, in that crowd, you're properly crammed in, right? The only people I've touched in the last 12 months are my family, my immediate, you know, my husband and my two children. I've not touched my parents. I've not touched, it's just weird. And so the idea of being in that really tight, it will be fine, right? As soon as we're in and we're fine and you see that stadium and you're next to it, it'll be phenomenal. But there is this little thing in my head that's going, I really want to be that close to people.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? And obviously, you know, we've got, you know, Mikey T and Joe that have been at games. How has that been in terms of, because obviously a lot has changed, hasn't it, in terms of what it was like. And Mikey T, I still listen to your commentary and still crack up with the same jokes. That sort of, I love your humour. And I must admit, sometimes I just then miss it. It's really weird, isn't it? Certain things that remind you of things. You know, I remember going to my see Mikey T and having a laugh and now waiting for him to join on that. How's it been though in terms of, I know my experience of games was challenging. How has it been games and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, just at the outset, Sue, I mean, for all the years I've been sort of doing the commentary and the PA and everything, I mean, I hold my hands up at all times. It's something I regularly reflect on, that I am very, very honoured, privileged and blessed to be in such a position. And this was kind of before the whole kind of COVID situation kicked in. So now obviously everyone's watching on their laptops and TV or just listening to the audio or wherever they are. Around the world, which is obviously another matter, Stu, it kind of puts its extra emphasis on it. You're in an even more of a kind of an exalted and privileged position. And I'll never, you know, I say it to Rob Cornell all the time that, you know, we've been going sort of just over 40 years, both of us. And, you know, going to the ground, going through all the divisions, winning the FA Cup, all the 14 years in the top flight and coming through all the divisions again as AFC Wimbledon. I mean, it's just been, you know, it certainly hasn't been uneventful. Let's kind of put it that way. So to still be in a position where we can go to the home and the away matches and broadcast and be in a position where so many thousands of fans aren't able to, it's something that is very, you know, it's even more humbling in the current circumstances, and it just really makes you feel how sort of lucky you are. I mean, going to Plough Lane at the first time, I mean, I'm one of these strange people. Things that move me, that should move me, don't. Things that and other things do, you know, where you wouldn't expect it. I mean, when I walked into Plough Lane sort of the first time, I mean, everyone's going, oh, everyone sort of seems to be the opinion that as soon as they step in the ground, they're all going to be all tearful and hugging the nearest person to them and all emotional, which is obviously, you know, everyone's obviously entitled to whatever reaction that engenders. But I walked in and I paused, and I don't know if you remember when Beckham got sent off in France 98, and as the referee holds up the red card, in the background, you've got Battistuta there in approval of the referee's decision, just going, just nodding, yeah.
Yeah, I remember
that's
that. Right.
That's justice, mate. And that's how I felt. I felt, you know, job done.
The Dons Trust support Terrace Talk. Terrace Talk is about helping fans. And James Lonsdale was recently involved with Terrace Talk and discuss this on the Dons Trust website. Don't suffer alone. Please don't. We're discussing this today, but if you need any help whatsoever, mental health covers many, many different areas. Mind are a great charity that can help. The EFL are running a joint Have Your Mates Back campaign, where you can ask, we all ask friends if they're okay, but ask them again. Are you okay? Sometimes you'll get a different answer on the second one. We have to look out all for each other during this pandemic and further forward on this. So a couple of numbers you can have is Age UK, and they're on 0800 678 1602, open between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. Alcoholics Anonymous, you can go to their website, or 0800 9177 650. Calm Zone, again their website, or call them on 0800 585858. Childline, or call 0800 1111. You've also got Mental Health First Aid of England, Mental Health First Aid of Wales, Mental Health Matters, the National Domestic Abuse Helpline. Call them if you need to on 0808 2000 247. The National Gambling Helpline, go to their website or call 0808 8020 133. And finally, Samaritans, on 116 123 and call any time for free. And finally, if you need any medical advice, call NHS on 111. Please, please don't suffer in silence. And that brings us to the end of part one of this special 9 years podcast regarding mental health and its relationship with football. We, in our second part, we discuss Plough Lane further. Mikey T discusses further about Plough Lane. Joe Palmer also discusses his experience of Plough Lane behind closed doors. And then we also look forward to what reference then, but obviously what is it going to be like back at Plough Lane when we all can go and enjoy this arena that we've all been waiting 30 years for. So we will be back with part two in probably about a week's time. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, please, please don't suffer alone. Please talk and get help if you need to. We'll see you soon.